This is a podcast from WGBH Radio Boston. Hear more at wgbh.org/classical.
Hey, podcast listeners. This is Michelle Sweet, producer of Classical Connections. Nim Cook is a specialist in the early sacred music of New England. Last week, he spoke with us about William Billings. And this week, Cook tells us all about a lesser-known composer of the day, Timothy Swan.
Last week, we heard about the colonial-era composer William Billings. And while Billings was the most prolific and famous composer of the period in the city of Boston, he was not alone. There were, in fact, hundreds of other composers writing music throughout New England.
So there's all of these composers in the countryside who are writing music. And because they're not in Boston, because they're not experiencing that more or less constant influx of European musical streams, they're quite unaware of what's going on across the pond. And they're writing music just according to what they've heard of English church music, the music that they'd inherited, and they're writing it by instinct.
Nim Cook is a music historian specializing in early New England sacred music.
The guy I studied for my undergraduate thesis and have remained in love with musically over the decades is Timothy Swan.
Timothy Swan was born in Worcester, Massachusetts, a 50-mile difference that put him a world away from the port city of Boston. Swan lived in Northfield, Massachusetts, and traveled through the Connecticut River Valley before eventually settling in Suffield, Connecticut.
Here's a Swan tune titled Leghorn. Leghorn's a kind of material used in making hats, or a kind of hat. So the tune name Leghorn comes from Swan's profession. Deep in our hearts let us record the deeper sorrows of our Lord. Behold the rising billows roll to overwhelm his holy soul. And you know, it's very solemn, it's very dark, but it's beautifully constructed.
Like Billings, Swan had only the most rudimentary musical training and wrote his first song, Montague, named after the town he visited with a boyhood pal, while he was an apprentice to a hat maker. He was also a self-made intellectual, a voracious reader, and most likely wrote music within the context of his work, dreaming up melodic lines as he worked on his hats, then filling in other parts later in the evening.
You're writing away from any keyboard instrument, and you have a text, and you write a melody first, and the melody is written for the tenor voice to sing. You're almost surely going to write the bass part next to kind of support that tenor voice, and then usually the soprano, or as they call it, treble voice, the top voice, and finally the alto or counterpart last. So you compose these melodic lines in the main melody and then the other vocal parts, each one of them as melodic as possible. And then you hand out the parts to your singers, and lo and behold, you hear what you've written. But because you haven't tested those harmonies at a keyboard instrument, there's sometimes some quite hairy stuff that happens, or at least to our ears. But this being a very strongly linear music, you know, four singing lines that are intended to be simultaneous, and because voices connect note to note and therefore chord to chord in a very convincing way, it works.
And this is how music of late 18th century New England was written, until the influence of composers like Handel and Haydn made these bold and brief compositions feel quite small and simple in comparison. But Nim Cook sees it differently.
The church music of New England, I think, really just took a nosedive into harmony and away from melody. A nosedive into harmony. It became the music that so many altos even today know well as generating harmonic parts like na 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 na. That's a little extreme, but the altos in Timothy Swan and Billings' music have a great time. They've got marvelously melodic parts to sing. So there's this really interesting change in church music and a kind of, I think, declension from melodic inspiration to sort of harmonic propriety and decorum.
Nim Cook is currently working on an anthology called New England Harmony, Inspired Miniatures from America's Earliest Composers. He also teaches music at the Eagle Hill School in Hardwick, Massachusetts. I'm Kathy Fuller for Classical Connections.
Classical Connections is produced by WGBH Radio and made possible by an NEA American Masterpieces grant through the Massachusetts Cultural Council. If you'd like to check out WGBH's podcast featuring live music recorded in our Fraser Performance Studio, just look for WGBH Classical Performances at iTunes or go to wgbh.org/classical.